Battle for the Body, Chapter 8, The Biblical Basis of Healing. Healing promised to claim. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. Introduction. With this lesson, you begin a journey of faith into healing and deliverance. The Bible is your passport for this journey. In the natural world, a passport verifies your citizenship and guarantees the privileges afforded by your nation. As a spiritual passport, the Word of God verifies your citizenship in the kingdom of God. It guarantees that as a born-again believer, you qualify for the privileges afforded by this citizenship, including the privileges of divine healing and deliverance. The Word of God and Healing. Read the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 through 8, and verses 18 through 23, Mark chapter 4, verses 3 through 8, and 14 through 20, and Luke chapter 8, verses 5 through 8, and 10 through 15. In this parable, Jesus explains that the seed is the Word of God. In the natural world, a seed has within it the capacity to bring life, but it is powerless until it is planted and nurtured. The same is true in the spiritual world. The seed of God's Word has the capacity to bring spiritual life. The seed of God's Word on healing has the capacity to bring deliverance. But until the Word of healing is sown in your life, you will be trying to reap without sowing. You cannot reap when you have not sown. This is why you must study the biblical basis of healing and deliverance. One law of harvest is that in order to reap, you must sow. Another law of harvest is that you do not reap in the same season you sow, but you will reap in due or proper season. As you begin to sow God's Word in your life, you may not immediately experience healing or see results in those to whom you minister. But if you continue to sow the word of healing, you must eventually reap. It is the law of God's harvest. The parable of the sower also contains some warnings of which you should be aware as you begin your study of what the Bible teaches about healing. When the seed of God's word is sown, there is always opposition from Satan. Some seed falls by the wayside of your life, and the wicked one steals it from you. You hear God's word on healing and deliverance, but you allow it to be snatched away, perhaps by tradition or by doubt, criticism, and unbelief. Some seed falls on stony ground, and you do not allow it to take root in your heart. The stony ground represents a hard heart that is not open to the truth of God's word. The word is first received with joy, but when affliction comes, perhaps in the form of a physical attack, or persecution results, perhaps from those who do not believe in divine healing, the word wilts and you are offended. The seed of God's word on healing may also be choked out by thorns in your life. The cares of the world, riches, pleasures, and lusts strangle its growth. Man is composed of a triune nature consisting of body, soul, and spirit. The body is the physical part of man. The soul and spirit are the spiritual parts which enable him to act, think, feel, react emotionally, and respond spiritually to God. All of these are involved in the sowing and reaping of spiritual truth. Through the bodily senses of hearing and seeing, you receive the reproductive seed of God's word. As you read or hear the word, it enters your spirit. But in order to reproduce in your life, the seed must get into your soul. The process is much like biological reproduction in the natural world. In order for humans to reproduce, there must be a male, a female, and the biological seed, which is transmitted through intimacy. Applying this spiritually, the Word of God is the seed. The spirit is the male portion of the spiritual nature, and the soul is the female portion. We know the soul is the female part of the spiritual nature because David said, "My soul shall make her boast in the Lord," in Psalm 34, verse 2. In order to reproduce, the seed must enter the spirit or male and be transmitted on to the soul or female. The reason that the Word of God often does not effect change in our lives is that we only allow it to enter our spirits. We never really let it penetrate the deep recesses of our soulish nature in the mind, will, and emotions. In the natural world, when male and female unite and biological seed is planted, its effects are evident. The cells of a new life are produced and a child is eventually born. The same is true in the spiritual world. When the Word of God regarding healing is transmitted from the physical senses of eye or ear to your spirit and is then planted in your soul, its effects will eventually be seen in your physical body. The Old Testament record. Our study of the biblical basis of healing and deliverance begins in the Old Testament record. As the various references in this lesson are discussed, take time to read them in your Bible. Originally, man was created sinless and healthy in body, soul, and spirit. You already learned in chapter 4 that death entered the world as a result of the sin of the first man and woman, Genesis chapter 3. You also learned that when the curse of death came upon man, Satan entered man's genetic system and began his destructive mission of sickness, disease, bondage, and death. But in this dark moment of history, the first promise of spiritual and physical healing was given. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God said that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of Satan. This seed was a prophetic promise about Jesus, who through his earthly ministry, death, and resurrection would defeat Satan. The Genesis record contains two accounts of divine healing. In Genesis chapter 17, verses 18 through 19, God promised to heal Sarah's barrenness. In Genesis chapter 21, verses 1 through 7, this was fulfilled. Genesis chapter 20, verse 17, records the healing of Abimelech. In the book of Exodus, disease and divine healing more clearly enter the biblical record. After the deliverance of Israel from Egypt, the people marched for several days without finding water. When they finally came to Marah, they could not drink of the water because it was bitter. God showed Moses a tree which, when cast into the waters, made the waters sweet. Following this, God revealed himself as healer of his people. He said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. A more accurate translation of this is, "I am the Lord your physician." This indicates a habitual continuing action. Because this promise was first given to Israel in a specific situation, some say it applies only to them and that Christians cannot claim it. We must remember, however, that the names of God are revelations of his nature and character, and God does not change. If he was by nature a physician and healer then, he is the same today. Other specific references to healing in Exodus are the healing of Moses' leprous hand, Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, and God's promise to take away sickness from among his people, Exodus chapter 23, verse 25. The book of Leviticus might be called the health care manual of the Bible. God reveals regulations regarding the treatment of disease. For an example, see Leviticus chapter 13, verses 1 through 46, in chapter 14, verses 1 through 32, and gives directives regarding healthy living. See Leviticus chapter 15, verses 1 through 33 for an example. The book of Numbers records the healing of the leprosy of Miriam and Aaron, Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 through 15, and the healing of plagues that affected Israel, Numbers chapter 16, verses 41 through 50, and 21, verses 5 through 9. Deuteronomy chapter 28 is a very important chapter related to healing. It explains the relation of obedience to physical health. Other passages in Deuteronomy emphasizing this truth include chapter 7, verse 15, chapter 29, verse 22, and chapter 30, verse 20. Manoah's wife was healed of barrenness in Judges chapter 13, verses 2 through 24. There are several records of healings in the book of 1 Kings. There are stories about a man with a withered hand in 1 Kings chapter 13, verses 4 through 6, and the raising of a dead child in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 17 through 24. The record continues in 2 Kings with the healing of a child by Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 through 37, and the healing of Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. Study also the case of King Azariah in 2 Kings chapter 15, verses 1 through 12. From the healing of Hezekiah in 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 1 through 11, we learn that God can heal terminal illness and add years to life. See also 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verses 24 through 26, and Isaiah chapter 38, verses 1 through 12 and 16. We also learn from 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 14 and 21, that death comes to all men, even those with a ministry of healing. A great prayer of repentance related to healing is recorded in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verses 26 through 31. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 9 promises that God hears when we cry in affliction. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16, you can read the story of Asa, who died because he did not seek healing from God. His sin was not going to medical doctors, but ignoring God and his healing power. In 2 Chronicles chapter 26, you can read about Uzziah's leprosy, and in 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 20, of the healing of the people through the prayers of Hezekiah. The book of Job, especially chapters 1 and 2, permits us to see behind the scenes to identify the source of Job's problems, including his sickness. Study the book of Job to learn about his response in the time of sickness, the reaction of his friends, and how God healed and delivered him. The book of Psalms contains many promises, revelations, and prayers concerning healing. Study the following passages. 6 verses 2 to 3, O Lord, heal me. 27 verse 1, the Lord is the strength of my life. 30 verse 2, I cried and you healed me. 32 verses 3 to 5, acknowledged sin results in healing. 34 verses 19 through 20, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. 38 verses 3 and 7, anger and sin affect your health. Disease is called loathsome. 41 verses 1 to 8. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Disease is called evil. 42 verse 11 and 43 verse 5. God is the health of our countenance. 42 verses 1 through 5. Healing for a downcast spirit. 55 verses 1 to 2. Persevering prayer and healing. 67 verse 2, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving healing among all nations. 72 verse 13, we are to pity the weak. 91 verses 9 and 10, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. 103 verses 1 to 5, forget not his benefits, who healeth all thy diseases. In this passage, God is revealed as the forgiver of sins and the physician for all diseases. 105 verse 37. Israel came forth without one feeble person among them. 3 million people were all well and strong. 107 verses 17 through 20. He sent his word and healed them. 119 verses 25 through 28. We are strengthened by the word. 119 verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. 147 verse 3. Who healeth all thy diseases? Healing for a broken heart. 105 verse 37. He brought them forth, not one feeble among them. The book of Proverbs provides wisdom regarding healthy living. Proverbs 3 verses 7 to 8 explains how to be healthy. Proverbs 4 verses 20 through 23 reveals that the issues of life are affected by the heart attitude and that God's promises bring life and health. Proverbs 15 verse 4 and 30 confirm that wholesome talk results in health, and Proverbs 16 verse 24 shows that God's word brings healing. Proverbs 16 verse 24 indicates that the word of God brings healing to the bones, and Proverbs 17 verse 22 reveals the physical effects of spiritual problems. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 3 confirms that there is a set time for healing, and Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 17 demonstrates how sorrow and wrath are related to sickness. Isaiah chapter 6 verse 10 explains the relationship between spiritual understanding, conversion, and healing. Isaiah chapter 19 verse 22 confirms that when God is entreated, he heals. Entreated means to ask earnestly and solicit pressingly. Isaiah chapter 32 verses 3 to 4 is a great prophetic promise of healing being part of the kingdom of God. Isaiah chapter 33 verse 24 and 35 verses 5 to 6 tells of healing during the millennium and how the inhabitants will say, "I am not sick." In Isaiah chapter 53 verse 5, we are promised healing and deliverance through the atonement. Isaiah chapter 57 verses 18 through 19 encourages us to draw near for healing, and Isaiah chapter 58 verse 8 confirms that our health shall spring forth. In Isaiah chapter 61 verse 1, we learn that Jesus was sent to bind up the brokenhearted. This speaks of an inner emotional healing. In Jeremiah chapter 8 verses 14 through 15 and verses 20 through 22, the bitterness of sin is tied to physical illness, and Jeremiah chapter 15 verse 18 explains how to deal with an incurable wound. Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 14, chapter 30 verses 12 through 17, and chapter 33 verse 6 confirm God is a source of healing. Lamentations chapter 3 verse 33 confirms that God does not willingly afflict. Ezekiel chapter 17 verse 14 and chapter 30 verse 17 and 33 verse 6 confirm that God can heal and restore health. Ezekiel chapter 30 verse 21 speaks of incurable wounds medicine cannot heal. Only spiritual healing can cure these types of wounds. Ezekiel chapter 34 verse 4 and verses 16 and 21 and Zechariah chapter 11 verse 16 contain warnings to shepherds or spiritual leaders who have ignored the sick sheep or people. Daniel chapter 4 records King Nebuchadnezzar's sickness and healing. Hosea chapter 5 verse 13 warns of the danger of going elsewhere for healing. And Hosea chapter 6 verse 1 and 7 verse 1 confirm that God can and will heal both physical and spiritual conditions. Hosea chapter 11 verse 3 records God's sad words about Israel. They knew not that I healed them. The Old Testament record of healing, closes with the promise in Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, that Jesus will arise with healing in his wings. The New Testament record. Healing and deliverance are expanded to a new dimension in the New Testament record through the examples of Jesus in the first church. The example of Jesus. In the New Testament, Jesus is the believer's model of faith and practice. His healing and deliverance ministry is the pattern which you should follow in your own ministry. Out of 3,774 verses in the four New Testament Gospels, 484 relate specifically to the healing of physical and mental illnesses and the resurrection of the dead. In Mark, 209 verses out of 666 relate to the miracles of Jesus. Of the 1,257 narrative verses in the Gospels, 484, or 38.5%, are devoted to describing healing miracles. Jesus spoke the words of God in his ministry. I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. John chapter 8, verse 28. Jesus did the work and will of God. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. John chapter 6, verse 38. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. John chapter 9, verse 4. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. John chapter 4, verse 34. The purpose of Jesus was to destroy the works of the enemy, including sin, sickness, and bondage. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. The works Jesus did pleased the Father. For I do always those things that please him. John chapter 8, verse 29. This means that when you minister healing and deliverance as Jesus did, you are pleasing the Father, speaking his word, doing his will, and destroying the work of the enemy. There are several New Testament references where Jesus healed everyone present. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, Luke chapter 4, verse 40, chapter 6, verses 17 through 19, and chapter 9, verse 11. Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 through 25, chapter 9, verses 6 and 35, chapter 10, verse 1, chapter 12, verse 15, chapter 14, verse 14, and verses 34 through 36. Jesus healed many types of diseases: epilepsy, dropsy, deaf and dumb, palsy or paralysis, chronic hemorrhage, demonized, withered hand, deformities or paralysis, blind, infirmities, restoration of an ear that was cut off, raising of the dead, maimed, as used in Mark chapter 9, verse 43. Clearly, this indicates a limb gone. Compassion was the motivating emotion in the healing ministry of Jesus. For examples, see Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, chapter 12, verses 9 through 13, chapter 14, verse 14, chapter 18, verse 27, chapter 20, verses 29 through 34, chapter 29, verse 34, Mark chapter 1, verse 41, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, chapter 5, verse 19, Luke chapter 6, verses 6 through 10, chapter 7, verses 12 through 15, chapter 10, verse 33, chapter 14, verses 1 through 6, and John chapter 11, verses 38 through 44. Other emotions Jesus expressed in the healing ministry were grieving, anger, sighing, and weeping. Jesus used various methods in healing. Sometimes Jesus called the sick to him. Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Other times they called for him. See the story of the centurion's servant in Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13, and Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10, and the healing of Jairus' daughter in Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 through 19, and verses 23 through 26. Jesus dealt with the whole man, not just the physical condition. He taught forgiveness of sin and healing together. Sometimes he healed first, then forgave sin. See Luke chapter 17, verse 9, and John chapter 5, verse 14. Other times he forgave sins first, then healed. Sometimes healings occurred without faith on the part of the sick person. At least it was not mentioned. Lazarus in John chapter 11, verses 1 through 44. Malchus's ear, Luke chapter 22, verses 50 through 51. Gadarian maniac, Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. Deaf and dumb man, Mark chapter 7, verses 32 through 35. Peter's mother-in-law, Luke chapter 4, verses 38 through 39. The widow's son, Luke chapter 7, verses 12 through 15. Man with a withered hand, Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Man born blind, John chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. Daughter of Abraham, Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 13. The nobleman's son, John chapter 4, verses 46 through 50. Centurion's servant, Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13. Syrophoenician's daughter, Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. And Jairus' daughter, Mark chapter 5, verses 35 through 43. Sometimes healings occurred because of faith on the part of an individual. Two blind men, Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 31, a leper, Matthew chapter 8, verses 2 to 4, chapter 20, verses 29 through 34, Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 44, 10 lepers, Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, two blind men, Matthew chapter 20, verses 29 through 34. Blind Bartimaeus, Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52, and Luke chapter 18, verses 35 through 43. Woman with an issue of blood, Matthew chapter 9, verses 20 through 22, Mark chapter 5, verses 25 through 34, Luke chapter 8, verses 43 through 48. Sometimes healing occurred because of the faith of others. The centurion's servant, Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13. The nobleman's son, John chapter 4, verses 46 through 53. Four who brought the palsied man, Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 8, Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, Luke chapter 5, verses 17 through 26. The Syrophoenician's daughter, Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. Dumb, possessed with devil, Matthew chapter 9, verses 32 through 33. Blind and dumb, possessed, Matthew chapter 12, verses 22 through 23. Jairus' daughter, Mark chapter 5, verses 35 through 43. Deaf and dumb man, Mark chapter 7, verse 32. Blind man, Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through 26. Jesus used different verbal methods in healing. Sometimes he spoke the word of pronouncement only. Daughter of Abraham, Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 13. Nobleman's son, John chapter 4, verses 46 through 50. Blind Bartimaeus, Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. The two blind men, Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 31. Centurion's servant, Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13. Sometimes he spoke the word of command. The man with palsy, Luke chapter 5, verses 17 through 26. Jairus' daughter, Mark chapter 5, verses 22 through 24, and verses 35 through 43. Sometimes Jesus combined command and touch. The leper, Matthew chapter 8, verses 2 to 4. The two blind men, Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 31. Peter's mother-in-law, Luke chapter 1, verses 38 through 39. The deaf and dumb man, Luke chapter 7, verses 32 through 35. The widow's son, Luke chapter 7, verses 12 through 15. daughter of Abraham, Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 13. Sometimes Jesus prayed. Peter's mother-in-law, Luke chapter 4, verses 38 through 39. The deaf and dumb man, Mark chapter 7, verses 32 through 35. The widow's son, Luke chapter 7, verses 12 through 15. Lazarus, John chapter 11, verses 38 through 44. The man with the withered hand, Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. It was not necessary for Jesus to be physically present with the ill in order to heal. He healed from a distance. The centurion's servant, Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13. The nobleman's son, John chapter 4, verses 46 through 50. Daughter of the Syrophoenician woman, Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. Jesus often commanded the sick to do something as part of the healing process. The man with the withered hand was told to stretch it forth, Luke chapter 6, verses 6 through 11. The paralyzed man at Bethesda was told, rise, take up thy bed, and walk, John chapter 5, verses 1 to 9. The nobleman with a sick son was told to go thy way, John chapter 4, verses 46 through 54. The 10 lepers were told to show themselves to the priest, Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. A blind man was told to wash in the pool of Siloam, John chapter 9, verse 7. Jesus ministered healing in both public, groups and in the synagogue, and in private settings, homes and individual contacts. Jesus used unusual material items such as spit, mud, fingers and ears, hem of his garment, washing in water. Sometimes the sick touched him. Daughter of Jairus, Mark chapter 5, verses 23 through 24. The multitudes, Luke chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. The multitudes, Mark chapter 3, verse 10. Whoever touched him, Mark chapter 6, verse 56. Sometimes he touched the sick. Two blind men, Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 31. People with various diseases, Luke chapter 4, verse 40. The leper, Luke chapter 5, verse 13. Woman with a spirit of infirmity, Luke chapter 13, verses 10 to 13. The instructions Jesus gave following healings were varied. For example, Peter's mother-in-law got up from her bed and ministered to those in the house. Jesus called for food to be given to Jairus' daughter. The healings of Jesus occurred in various locations, in and around homes, open meetings, in streets, by pools, hillsides, boats, funerals, graveyards, the temple, at mealtime gatherings, en route to other destinations, in gardens. There were varied responses to the miracles and healings. Amazement, fear of God, controversy, rejection by family and religious leaders, demons crying out, anger, popularity, glorifying God, questioning, what is this? Discussion, both report and rumor, household salvation. In summary, as we consider the healing ministry of Jesus as the example for our own ministries, we find that Jesus spoke the words of God and did the works of God during his earthly ministry. Healing and deliverance were part of his words and work. Sometimes Jesus healed everyone present. At other times, he healed specific individuals. He healed many different types of diseases and used various methods of ministry. Sometimes healings occurred without faith on the part of the sick. At other times, it occurred because of the faith of the sick or their friends or relatives. Jesus ministered healing wherever he went, and his ministry was marked by compassion. His ministry received a variety of reactions from the people and the religious and political leaders of the time. This same Jesus moves among us to save and heal today. Remember that as many as received him were born of God, John chapter 1, verses 12 through 13, and as many as touched him were made whole, Mark chapter 6, verse 56.